It's the kingdom building process that we do that sometimes has the tangible expressions because there's a building structure there. But most oftentimes, it is the relationships, the oneness, the unity that Christ manages to do best when we gather in God's name. This mission trip was unlike any that I had experienced in that we were not there to build those buildings. We were not there to lead a vacation Bible school or to teach. In fact, I wasn't even issued a religious visa. I received a tourist visa, so that meant I was not able to preach in the church services or even pray in the larger groups. Our mission experience did not allow us to do any physical labor other than walk from the place where we slept to the place where we ate. It took me a couple of days to let go of my role and my responsibility as a clergy person and ease into the humble and the challenging role of receiving grace from these beautiful people, gifts of hospitality and generosity and love, unconditional love that they offered to us. Making space to receive grace is difficult sometimes when we are the givers, right? Have you ever experienced that? Similar to the Gospel of Luke that talks about the two on the way to Emmaus that encounter a stranger who they invite to stay in their home, and then they recognize who he is in the breaking of the bread. Those types of experiences played over and over in our experiences in Cuba. I recall the drivers who hauled us from church to church, one in particular who was silent and reserved. He kind of ignored what was going on, and as the first couple of days advanced, I thought, you know, I wonder if he thinks we're just crazy Americans. I wonder what his opinion of us is. Does he know what he's doing as we drive around? It wasn't until days later that I discovered him sitting behind the curtain where we sat in worship. You see, this driver of the old car that we were in was also a lay leader, a missionary, and a mentor to the young adults within his church and within his community. That experience of worshiping together and realizing his true identity in the love of Christ created a bond and a connection like none other. And I was grateful for the opportunities to engage in conversations with him in further trips during the journey that allowed us to connect as a brother and sister in Christ. I witnessed the kingdom of God in the co-working of farmers and cooks, table servants and dishwashers, who with great joy and a spirit of humility and generosity prepared feasts before us in the presence of and a time we thought were our enemies. Sound familiar? Psalm 23. They did all this as servant ministers of Christ to remind us of how deeply we are loved by God, and how deeply we are loved by them. I recalled scriptures that reminded me of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Passages such like this in Ephesians 5:21. Therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. There was the Sunday morning that we learned that a pastor's wife had lost her mother that morning. And in that moment when I saw her on the road, before we entered our place of worship, all I knew to do was to embrace her with the love of God, to embrace her with your love extended there. We could have spoken the very same language, and no words would have made a difference. And I remembered then the passage that says that the Spirit swoops in our weakness and speaks words of groaning that we cannot utter. No words can translate. And I was grateful to find God's presence among us. There were so many sacred and intimate moments where we encountered in conversations, whether we were riding in a car that looked like an old Volkswagen commercial. We were so packed in like sardines. Or whether we were eating meals together, and we did that a lot and in abundance. or whether we were visiting the beautiful churches or the beautiful sites throughout Cuba. We shared stories of our lives together and our faith journeys together. We listened intently to one another's needs. We even had rich discussions about the challenges of our faith, who we are as the body of Christ, and who is our neighbor. We respected one another's different points of view about our faith and how we worship. And all the while, I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit, drawing us into a deeper relationship with one another, a common bond in Christ, each with our own work to do in God's kingdom. Every passing day affirmed that though we are diverse in many ways, we are connected in Christ. We are partners with Christ in the work we are called to do. We truly are a partnership with our Cuban brothers and sisters in Christ, which is a gift of God. This connection, this unity, is a witness to the world and our communities, our churches, our schools, that God's unconditional love extends across oceans and borders, building bridges in order to change the world, one life at a time. My life has changed. Ward's life has changed. Joanna, Martha, Barbara's lives are changed. We are stronger in our witness to the love of Jesus Christ while we join together constantly in prayer. On our last day together, Pastor Alexis and his church family took us to a beach in Puerto Padre. After another wonderful, abundant meal together, Joanna, Chris, our interpreter, Jaziel, a young 27-year-old, Ward, and I climbed onto a pier and stood on the edge looking over into the beautiful, crystal clear water. We decided to stand really close together because some of us are better swimmers than others, and some of us have never been in that body of water before, though it so looked inviting. So we did that count, one, two, three, uno, dos, tres, and we jumped in together. And when we came up in that moment, there was an excitement, great exhilaration as we searched to make sure we had all come to the surface, and then helped one another back to the shore, eager to jump once more. When reflecting on that moment, I now image Christ in the middle of all that fun we had that day, acknowledging our diversity in our age, our gender, our race, our swimming skills, our beliefs, but deeply rooted and connected as one in an everlasting bond of love. Last night, as Ward and I were having a conversation about what we were going to say, that song popped in my mind as I was going to bed. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. Let us join our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. Pastor Alexis gave me that shell that's on our table of the Lord this morning. He said to me, "This is a gift to you. I want you to take back to Coronado. And I want every time you see it, to put it to your ear, to listen to the ocean, and to know how deeply connected we are, and to remind your congregation that we are praying for you, that you'll stay on the mission to do God's work and for us to pray for them." So we have this shell in our chapel, and we're going to leave it there. Anytime you feel like praying for Cuba, you go grab that shell. It's a wonderful reminder, an outward expression of the inward work that God is doing in our church. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, time is passing, and we still have much to do. But God, we are grateful for the great testimony of your love that is transparent and alive and refreshing and new, that is working in the people of Cuba, that is working here among us. Oh God, call us to be faithful servants so that we might be the church, a beacon of hope and light and love in the world that so desperately needs to know that you matter, that they matter to you, that they matter to us. In Jesus' name we pray.